morning.
Oops, am I on?
Okay, good morning. Nice to see everyone this morning. This morning I'm going to talk about sanctification. What does the scripture mean by sanctification? We know it connects with atonement, and it's connected with resurrection, and it's also connected with the likeness of Christ. I say it's connected with atonement, but it's not the same thing as atonement. The Jews had a day of atonement when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, the sin offering, the shedding of blood. This is what Christ did for us on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. We read here much about sanctification of the Spirit, the higher life. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Is sanctification primarily the sanctifying of the believer's walk produced by the Holy Spirit in the Word? Or is sanctification the blood birthright of every child of God, from the least to the greatest? Sanctification is a newness of life. Death to sin must precede this new life. But death to sin is not sanctification. Sanctification is the power of the new life, this life, the one we're in now. We're called saints. Many believers today make no profession of being called saints, but the scripture says different. Let's go to Romans, page 1662. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How about the church of the one body? Let's go to Ephesians, page 1760. First verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesians and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We find next that sanctification, like salvation, is connected with the purpose of electing grace. Go down to verse 4. According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And let's go to Colossians, page 1782, verse 22. In the body of the flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This shows that this purpose was fully established by the work of Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter. We're doing a lot of flipping here. Go to 1 Peter, page 1855, second verse. Elected according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, into obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Sanctification of the Spirit is directly connected to the blood of Christ. And the Spirit of God never leads to sanctification apart from this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, page 1698. We'll start off with verse 29. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. Down to verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Back to verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, whom God has made into us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ became into us sanctification precisely in the same way and degree he became unto us righteousness. For he had made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So with sanctification is put into the believer as absolutely as righteousness is. Let's go to Hebrews, page 1837, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. By the which will. What does this mean, by the which will? We have already been the predetermined will of God in the sanctification of the believer. But that's not the thought here. The which will takes us back to verse 9. He then said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. It's the done will of God by the obedience of Christ and through the offering of Christ that the believers are sanctified. In 1 Peter 1:1, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected and making known them that are sanctified. Then it's connected with resurrection. The Colossians, the saints of Colossians, like all redeemed, were perfect, complete, and presented holy. Let's go to Colossians, page 1781. Starting off with verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints on light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he made have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all things dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's go over to Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Not only have we died with Christ and been buried with him, but we have been risen with him and quickening together with him. Let's go down to verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The body of the sin of the flesh has been put off. Let's go to verse 16. Let not man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of holy days or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. Wherefore, if you die with Christ, why are you living in the world subject to ordinances? True holiness is only possible with the power of resurrection. The believer looks back at the cross and sees Christ die in his stead and says, I died there too. And he looks up at God, the right hand of God where Christ sits. and says, I have been risen together in him. This is the argument of Colossians 2 and 3. Let's go to Colossians 3. Start with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is the life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. I'm going to stop there. Mortify therefore your members. In spiritual sense, as being a direct result of being risen with Christ and being occupied with him, our life is there. Our death's here. We feed the new nature that we may starve the old. By faith, we walk in the power of the new man, which has been created in true holiness, that we might put off the old man and his deeds. We live on Longview Drive. We had a big oak tree at the end of the drive. And the winter would come, and the leaves would stay on the tree all winter long. It wasn't until spring, when new life would flow through the branches, that the leaves would fall to the ground. And this was done by the power within. And we should live by the power of light that's within us. The passage that Dave read this morning, Colossians 3, 5 through 17, shows the believer is called upon to walk worthy. When Peter felt moved to start forming a Bible for him, I remember it was a Wednesday night Bible study group, and he talked about it. My heart grew very heavy. I know what that word means now, because I didn't feel like that I could leave the Grace Brethren Church. I talked it over with Stephanie. Now, I can't say she had the same feelings because her heart was here. But she says, whatever I felt like doing, she would follow. But one of the reasons was there's a lot of good saints at the Grace Brother Church who walk in this light. And they had a good teacher. When we first started going there, it was a Pastor Marshall. And I think one of the greatest things you could say about an individual is you could see Christ in them. And I seen Christ in him. We should live by the power, excuse me. Never forget the importance of the word accepted of the beloved. Free grace. No doubt some people would think our doctrine is dangerous. Shall we sin because we are no longer under the law, but under grace? Let's go to Romans. Page 1675, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and members of instruments of righteousness to God. How may I find a power to live into God? Let's go to Ephesians, page 1762. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ into good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. This is God's good works. This is what I have trouble with. This is God's good work, not ours. We should walk in them. We should walk in the works and merits of Christ. We should work out that which is worked in. Let's go to Hebrews, 18, page 1846, verse 21. Made you perfect in every good work to do his will, working you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then it's connected with the likeness of Christ. As he is in the first epistle of John, Christ is the center of all the purpose of God's grace. He's the perfecter, the author, and the goal. Let's go to 1 John, page 1871. Start with verse 5. This, then, is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only is he there by the right of his own Godhead, but he is there because of his perfectness, of his atoning work. In full blaze of Shekinah glory does our Savior stand. Nothing but absolute righteousness and perfect holiness can endure the light in which our Advocator stands. Yet weak and frailing as we may be in ourselves, yet that and nothing less is our position in Christ. 1 John 2 tells us that he is righteousness. Chapter 3 tells us he is pure. And chapter 1 has told us he's the light. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. God's love to us is the subject. The verse starts out in this. Does it mean that God's love is perfected in this? That the believer shall have boldness in the day of judgment? Well, yes, no, that's just part of the glorious goal. The love is perfected in this. That the believer in Christ is as he is. God himself knows no higher goal for eternity than that the believer shall be as his Lord. And when the bodies of our hearts are changed into bodies like the glorified Lord, then perfect love will have found its goal. What greater surrender we stand, from the weakest to the strongest, from babes to full grown, are all together and complete in him. 1 John 4, as he is, we are. In 1 John chapter 3, he is as we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Again, we deal with that which is absolute. And perfect love has reached its goal. And the apostle word, behold, what matter of love. What is the outcome of this glorious position? Everyone that has this hope in him purify himself as he is pure. How many times we look back at our past and mourn that we not lived to God, or how many times we failed? But everyone that has this hope in him purify himself as he is pure. Mr. Watts says, oh, that I may be more like him in practice. I am to be like him in the future. And for grace to be more like him now. The believer's love to God urges him to seek more conformity to him as his beloved son. As he is, we are. Is this sinless perfection? No. For if we say we do not sin, we deceive ourselves. It is not the covering up of sins, neither is it by imagining ourselves become sinless that we draw near to his presence. It is by reason of his wondrous grace has made us accepted in the beloved and partakers of the hearts of the saints and the like. With all our imperfections still upon us, we may draw nearer to walk in the light. So do we make little of sin? No, for God does not. But he made a provision. It is not our walk or our talk to ever keep us fit for his holy presence. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we walk with joy and we grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Dear Heavenly Father, let us glorify you by believing your word and seeing that by your grace we are as Christ is, and that as Christ is we shall be. Let us seek by grace to walk as Christ walked, to walk in the light, to be thankful for the blood that cleanses us, and for the complete sanctification which is ours in Christ Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.